どうしたって消せない夢も止まれない今も誰かのために強くなれるなら何度でも立ち上がれ世界に打ちのめされた泣かぬ意味を知ったグレンの春咲き誇れ運命を照らして
Hello, you're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
And today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us, and then dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members. So how was the last 2 weeks, Chris?
Playing with Raiden Shogun.
Raiden Shogun.
Mm-hmm.
Genshin Impact talk already.
Yeah, you asked what I've been
right
doing.
Just right into it. not watching any anime, just Raiden Shogun.
Well, that's the standard. That's the standard, seasonal. We're not doing a spoiler yet.
That's true. Yeah, I missed the 50-50 as usual. At least I got her, like, I got another 5 right after 11 rolls or something like that, so I missed a 50-50, but at least I got it. I got another dang gene.
I've gotten
5 genes at this point.
I got a chi-chi out of my 50-50 fail, but I got less than 10 rolls. I got writing, so.
Well, that's good. At least you got that. I got plenty of stuff to do, though. It's been a lot of fun, at least having more islands to view, because, like I said before, I think the first 3 islands I'm pretty much already done with, so.
I did the main storyline quest, but I gotta get into the other quests soon.
Yeah, all the side quests and stuff like that I gotta do as well. It's been fun, because yesterday I did a live stream on YouTube and played a little bit, so that was a lot of fun. I did a lot better on YouTube than we did on Twitch. I actually had people pop on there and talk.
I was thinking about seeing if I could do that this afternoon as well while you're busy cleaning up our...
Do you think your computer can do it?
I don't know. I won't know until I actually try, so...
I mean, because you can't, like, max out your settings on Genshin's, and you're also basically letting another thing process and encode at the same time, so it's going to be interesting for you.
I can do most everything... Except for one setting for whatever reason my system does not like. Everything else is maxed out. And it does pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. We'll see if you can pull that off. But no, that was a lot of fun. Got people on there talking, and I'm gonna try to see if I can personally do that more often and do it kind of consistently. People can jump in there, and it was a lot of fun. Like I said, had a lot of discussions in there. We actually got into some pretty deep discussion about, like, you know, disabilities and stuff in anime, so it was cool to not just have, you know, just, yeah, it's cool to have casual talk, hey, how's it going, how's your day, all that kind of stuff, but to actually get into some topics was fun, so.
I just hope nobody decides that I need to be hardcore on that game. I'm filthy casual, that's all there is to it. So.
That's alright, I told everybody if I screw up, you're welcome to say how bad I am, because I know I'm not that good. I told them, the only reason I have Zhongli with me is because I don't want to dodge, so that's always a good sign, right?
Well, it's bad enough that actual healers actually make it on my team, because that's how bad I am.
Well, that was kind of the whole point that I had. It wasn't really necessarily that it's a Genshin Impact stream that I was doing. It was more of a fact of just something to put on the background, mess with while people are talking and stuff. So I think pretty much, I don't think really anybody that was in the chat actually plays Genshin or anymore. Most of them are like, yeah, I quit that a long time ago. Mm. And people that don't play it, they're like, hey, this looks cool. So it's like, you know, you don't have to play it. Just something to watch. I mean, it's a cool looking game, and it doesn't. And that's the thing, because, like, I was thinking about different streams that I can do. And it's like most of my backlog of, like, games that I really badly want to play are, like, all RPGs. And RPGs aren't really good for streaming. Because, I mean, you're too busy reading the story that you're not reading the chat. You're not responding to people. So I'm trying to think of other games that are, like, you know, easy to just play while people are talking, you know?
Yeah, really, that's what it comes down to. I mean, the main two games that we quote-unquote play are Genshin Impact and Final Fantasy. So... The only problem with Final Fantasy is that's way too involved to really do it, but when it comes down to it, that's the only other alternative.
No, I'll probably put set up Final Fantasy on my OBS just to jump in there, do some dailies, and jump back out. It's not going to be something that I'm going to, like, get involved with, but mm-hmm. It'd be cool just to pop in there and show people a pretty looking game and get my dailies done.
Mm-hmm.
Get people excited for Endwalker. I mean, that's like what?
Two months.
I think it's November.
When is the open?
I'm curious. I'm not sure when the
because I know the
early access is like usually about a week early.
Was it a week? It seemed like it was a month, but hey.
No, I think it's
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it's been too long.
I don't think they would do a month because that'd be too much time.
We technically get the early access every expansion.
It's like the few things that I could say like you have to pre-order it because it's like, you know, you're gonna buy it anyway. It's not like man, I can't wait for Endwalker out to come out and I'm waiting on that review from IGN to find out if I'm gonna like it or not. No, it's an MMO that you've been playing for, you know, so many years. You're just gonna buy it. It's like there's no pre-ordering it. Plus, it's good to pre-order it because of how difficult it's been just to get keys to play that game, apparently, because how everything went crazy with World of Warcraft and stuff. So, I know it confuses people, but the concept of them running out of keys isn't, like, it's not like, oh, well, it's just a code, just make more. It's like, well, technically, there's licensing and stuff that they have to put into to get those keys. It's not like they have an infinite amount of keys. There's licensing and stuff that they have to do behind the scene that they have to secure those keys. So,
well, and they probably base their infrastructure based on how many keys are out there.
I don't know. I mean, that's part of it. But if you think about it, they have such a spread of servers. I'm not sure how that would apply equally, unless they of course force people to go on other servers. What they do, but yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I don't think the expansion would have the same problem as just getting a key to play the game though, because I think it's equal. I don't know, but it's cool though. It's cool for them. That's happening. But yeah, Genshin was okay. I've been having fun with that, doing the new content, trying to raise up Raiden Shogun, and just right now just trying to see if I can get some streams put together just to hang out with people and talk. So I'm gonna try to get it consistently done. I was telling Chris the other day that I didn't want to do them at like 10, but it's like the most convenient time for me. But I just kind of like, I'm like going to play and do all my weeklies for Genshin. And I was like, you know, kind of just want to fire up the stream. So I'm like, okay, just set up everything up, fired up the stream, and just did it. And it was fun. It was like, shoot, like 3.5 hours worth. So
yeah,
it just breezes. Like if you have a good, you know, good group of people, I mean, it wasn't like crazy amount of people. I mean, I think we're about 11 at some point. It's just having interaction. Like I don't care that I have, you know, 5 million viewers. It's just really just to have a group that can interact with and talk. So
yeah,
that's all I really care about. I actually technically don't want to get to the point where it's like Twitch chat, where it's just scrolling so fast you can't even see what people are saying. Because then at that point, it's like, there's no point to it. And then you have to switch to doing like, only respond to super chats, and I don't want to go there. That's just, but I know it's an easy way of doing it, but I don't really want to do that. So I didn't even have super chats enabled. I didn't know where it was at. I'm fine with people donating through that method, but I didn't really know that was. I thought it was just for like pop-up ads and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't want people to be watching a stream and then suddenly boom ad. I get enough of that with Twitch. I don't want that. And suddenly they start talking about something cool and all of a sudden bam, 6 ads for, you know, 15 seconds. It's like they were talking about something that I want to hear them talk about and suddenly I have to sit through forever ads.
Do you get that on a constant basis? I've only ever gotten it at the beginning of the stream.
Twitch, what they do is, in most cases, it's right when you first open it, and then there's a forced ad, I think, every 30 minutes.
Is it 30 minutes?
Unless they initiate it. If they initiate the ads, a lot of people, what they'll do is when they go talk about something important or do something interesting, they'll take a pause, they'll run ads, and they'll come back. That way, everybody is kind of on the same page. But yeah, the sucky thing is when you start watching a stream, and then you get like 1 or 2 ads, and then, like, immediately after that, it's, like, the interval of 30 minutes, and suddenly you get 6 more ads. I've had that happen, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I just sat through 2 ads, and now you give me 6?
Yeah.
It's harsh. Twitch is real harsh. But it is what it is. People got to get paid. I understand it more than most people, so Chris yells about the ads, and I'm like, well, they got to get paid, Chris. Even though it's the same stinking ad over and over again, and you're really, like, I don't really care about this.
I think half of my issue with it is the same ads over and over and over again. Ads that are obviously not targeted at me. But I can't really get onto them about that too much because I tend to stay off of the sign in. I despise that they finally stopped asking me to sign in. I'm so glad that they stopped that. But yeah, because I refuse to do the sign in, I think I used to try and dink with the targeted ads a long, long time ago, but they don't seem to be doing that anymore. Which that to me seems odd. But no, I because the ads are obviously not, I'm not Spanish. I don't know Spanish. So targeting a Spanish ad at me doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It's not like I go and click on things that have Spanish in them to make it to where they think that makes sense.
I wonder if those ads, the companies for those ads, know that YouTube essentially is giving it to people that are obviously English speaking and watching English streams. Is it like an influx where they don't have enough Spanish viewers to see the ads? They're like, we'll just give a few ads to English speakers. That way we can show them we've distributed this many ads. It's kind of concerning.
I don't know.
I would say that anybody that has ads for Spanish stuff or Spanish speaking ads, I would wish that you would look into that, because I think your stuff's getting fed to people that don't even know what it's saying.
it's one of those things that you wonder about. I wonder about a lot of the stuff that they do, because
about a lot of things.
It's one of those things that I wonder mostly. I agree with you that YouTube has to make their money. I get that. The thing that I don't get is, do these ad companies realize that in a lot of cases, some of the stuff that YouTube is doing is more irritating the customer than actually the experience is in any way conducive to me wanting to go and buy their product?
It's the same as it always been. When has ads never been annoying?
I agree.
Daisuke.net, when they were just feeding me Gundam stuff. But even then, seeing the same Gunpla ad for the 50th time wasn't really doing anything for me.
I agree. Ads have always been one of those things that's
ads have kind diminished returns.
Yeah. And that I think is probably more. One of the things that irritates the crap out of me is that, like Andrew kind of hinted at it a little while ago, of the ads that are literally being forced dead in the middle of a sentence. That irritates me to no end. When I'm listening to somebody, a thought process, and literally that thought process is just absolutely discordant because an ad is shoved right in dead in the middle of it. And it's like, why are we talking about soft soap? And I'm throwing out a random,
because what's wrong with soft soap, Chris?
It's actually Gain that keeps doing this anyway. but dead in the middle of a sentence, and that drives me crazier than anything is that. Other than the fact of the Spanish, I have nothing against Mexicans. I don't understand why I have to watch a Spanish ad dead in the middle of a sentence.
You should be more acceptive of other cultures, Chris.
I'm guessing.
That's all it's trying to tell you. It's fun. I got plenty of Spanish ads when we were in California. There's plenty of Spanish ads over there.
That makes sense.
It's interesting, though.
I don't see why they didn't target it towards you, but hey.
Yeah. I was thinking of Punchline. For some reason, I just keep thinking I'm going to stream Punchline. It's still sealed, I think, so it'd be fun to break it open and see what the heck's in it. It shouldn't be too heavy dialogue. I don't even know what the gameplay was. I forget what it was. But that'd be interesting to do in live stream with. I don't think I've ever seen a live stream with Punchline, so that'd be fun. But we'll see. I got to figure out my capture card and everything like that, get it set up, but it'd be a lot of fun. All of it's a lot of fun, so. Yeah, that was, at least with YouTube live streaming, I didn't have too much problem with latency between me and the chat. That was, like, terrible on Twitch, and I don't know if I just set something wrong, but it was, like, literally 30 seconds to a minute delay. So trying to test my audio was a pain in the butt because I didn't have anybody to bounce off of. But yeah, we'll see. It's that stuff coming forward. And like I said, I think a lot of it's not really to be a game streamer. Because I thought about just doing a live stream where it's just a camera on me and I'm talking. But it's like, I like having that something in the background that you can actually see rather than just my face and just chatting with people. Well, I think later on, once I get like a lot more viewers and a lot more questions and stuff coming through, it'd be a lot better to do just myself. But for now, something to
watch. And that's another thing that I have to, one of the main reasons why I need to start doing it now while we're still kind of quote unquote small. We're small on YouTube. Don't worry about it.
We're small and everywhere except for podcasting.
Yeah, really. My point being is that it'd be better while it's still technically small. I have a bad habit of when I'm playing a game, if somebody kind of starts talking to me, I tend to stop playing. And one of the things about streaming is you like to see things going on, and I'm probably not that good at that. So I have to get used to
I was kind reading. Of back and forth, oddly enough. Like, because, of course, obviously that was pretty much my first experience doing that. But it was kind of oddly back and forth. Like, I had a lot of times where I would be, you know, playing and I can glance over and see something and start responding to it. But every now and then it would get, like, into something that was a little more deep and I required to really think about it. Like, we were talking about the disability thing. When I started getting that, yeah, it's like, man, I start remembering names of shows and how they portrayed things. And that was when it started to really kind of... But if I was talking about something I've talked about a million times, like, you know, obscure shows that I want to talk about, it was a little more easier to kind of throw things out and continue to play. So,
that's another thing that I was thinking about is the fact that we are quote unquote anime centralized. We can't stream anime at all. That's just an absolute no-no. So that's why we have to kind of lean on the gaming side of our fandom to do the live streaming. So it's not like we're doing it this way to alienate our anime.
Most of all, we stick to anime-related games, so...
Yeah,
And honestly, if you think about it, gaming was really a huge introduction to a lot of people to anime.
Yeah.
Like, you can't doubt that when Final Fantasy VII came out, a lot of people started looking at anime. It was kind of like that thing of like, wow, what's the style? Why is this hair like that? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of gateway to anime is video games. So, I mean, because a lot of games back in the day that were the huge, most popular games back in the day were Japanese. They were mostly JRPGs. And that introduced a lot of people to anime. So, it makes sense that most people that like anime like gaming. I think it's one of those things where I would venture to guess that a majority of people that like video games, not really, that's not the way to say it. The majority of people that like anime like video games, but a very minority of people that like video games like anime. So it works one way.
Yeah.
I can say that most people that stream video games can't just suddenly out of nowhere start talking about anime, because then everybody's going, oh my gosh, it's a weeb channel. I watch a few people that stream video games, and every now and then once they start talking about anime, it's like, oh my gosh, weebs, oh my gosh, my eyes are burning because you're talking about anime.
Then why did you go into that channel? I mean, really?
It's just a sad thing. Like, I was watching Happy Console Gamer the other day, and he was doing an AMA with his wife, and it was sad because he's like, you know, I don't really talk about anime much anymore, because whenever I do a video on anime, I get a lot of comments saying, you know, why are you talking about this? Talk about games. And it's like, really, people? Like, really? The dude, I mean, I know, I don't watch all of his videos, but I know that he really loves anime. He's from the same generation as us. You know, we got into all that stuff at the same time. And so he loves a lot of older anime. Let him talk about what he likes.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck, people? Nah, whatever. Whatever. Let us talk about Genshin, people. Don't get angry in the comments. I don't think we've really actually had anybody get angry that we talk about Genshin. It's just one of those funny things. You think there's probably people out there that are like that. But at the same time, I think, like, similar to that, the chat when I was doing the live stream the other day, most people are like, you know, never played this game, or I played it once. This looks cool.
I think that we've only ever had two people who... I say this loosely because they didn't really get onto us, because they're really, really great friends of the podcast and they've been around for forever. So to say that they got onto us is I'm saying it very loosely. It's more along the lines of they just pointed out that wasn't what they were interested in. And they just moved on. So it's not, they didn't move on, like, leave. I mean, they just moved on. They didn't focus on that as a problem too much.
Yeah, I remember a while back we had somebody was was made a YouTube video talking about the podcast he listened to, and he listed us and said, at the very beginning, they talk about this fake Grand Order game. I'm not sure what it is, but other than that, it's really cool podcast. I'm like, sorry. Yes, we used to play a lot of fake Grand Order, and we used to talk about it all the time, but yeah.
Yeah, we moved on from fake Grand Order to Genshin Impact, so that's why you're hearing a lot about that.
Yeah, that was a fake Grand Order discussion yesterday, too, so that was funny. So yeah. News that seems important to us, that should be important to you, that should be important to us, that should be important to you. A lot to talk about. It's not a heavy, well, it is technically a decently heavy last couple weeks, but most of the news are really kind of going over what the broadcast days are for fall, because yes, fall's just around the corner. Next week we will be doing a preview, so stay tuned for that. Definitely look forward to us.
Is it already that time?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Mid-September, that's when we do our preview for fall. And fall is looking absolutely insane. So there's going to be a lot of stuff to cover, and I'm really excited for it. So cool stuff there. But yeah, next week we'll do our preview, and then we'll probably do a discussion before we get into the reviews, because I don't think we'll have enough stuff by then. So get ready, Chris. You got to start getting some shows completed. Anything that you currently are not watching that you need to get caught up on? I'm kind of thinking of recommending Remain to you. I'm not sure.
That one was always on a catch-up list at some point. I just literally... Time. So...
Mm-hmm. Every single time he talks about this, I always go like, why is he keeping up on this show? Why is this a show that he's keeping up on? He hated this. He doesn't seem like he likes this show.
Which one?
Why are you keeping up on it? Or no, why which you're not? Show?
What show am I keeping up on that...
Oh, shoot. I'd have to look at the list again. I forget what it was. I know that you keep up on pretty much everything Crunchyroll, because I guess it's easier for you to watch stuff on there, but...
The only one that well, strangely enough, Funimation has only cut me off of one this season, and I don't really care about catching up on it, so it doesn't hurt me, and that's, I think, Obey Me. That was the one that this season Funimation, for whatever reason, doesn't want to give me.
Obey Me? What?
Yeah, it was a stupid short that popped up on the list, and I just was clicking it to watch it just to get it out of our queue so that we didn't
have... Oh, Battle in 5 Seconds. I never thought you'd ever touch that show for that long.
That one's doing fine. I mean, it hasn't really
and
done...
Peach Boy Riverside? It's like all that these shows one, that I never think that he'd ever watch, but he's watching them.
That one is a little... I think that the only real reason I'm keeping up on that one is because of its quote-unquote epicness. The problem with that one is that it has a bad, and this is why I keep complaining to Andrew, and it's the only reason, and it's jumping around in time, and that irritates the snot out of me, because I'm starting to understand why they're doing it. They're setting up for different characters. I'm actually behind on that one.
What, Peach Boy?
Yeah, I think I'm 2 episodes behind on that one.
Oh no. 2 whole episodes.
Yeah, I'll probably end up catching up on that this evening or tomorrow. Who knows? When it comes down to it, the other one you said was...
Peach Boy and the 5 Seconds.
5 Seconds. That one I'm actually liking its action-y feel to it. So that one, it is getting a little bit darker right now, though. So we'll see what happens with that. But as it stands right now, it's doing fine.
You're not even keeping up on Remake, are you?
Remake, I thought, is what you were talking about. Remain,
Fina, Remake.
Remain, I didn't even try.
Yeah, Fina, Remain, and what was the other one?
Fina, I've already caught up on.
And Remake.
And the only reason it took me a little while to get caught up on Fina was mostly because it just was
she cut her
out of
off.
The... Yeah, that too.
It's growing back, by the way.
that one was kind of out of the main list, and so I had to go outside of that to actually catch up on that one. But I did catch up on it. I finally caught up on it last night.
Yeah. You gotta get Mugen Train watched too, because that's coming up here soon.
Yeah, I know.
New season.
That one's another one of those. It's out of the norm list, so.
Not out of the norm. You just search it and it comes up. But yeah, I think the last ones I have to finish up getting caught up on is the Duke of Death. I don't know. I'm kind of mixed up. I'll get caught back up on 5 seconds. I kind of just let that one go. But Aquatope's been good. Remain's been good. I don't know. I don't think there's really anything else that I really need to get caught up on. I'm mixed on Peach Boy too, but I'll probably get caught up on it. I'm still debating if I'm gonna get caught up on Tokyo Revengers. That show, the main character kind of started getting really annoying after a while.
The problem is with Peach Boy is it hasn't really done anything fantastic. It's just, like I said, it's kind of one of those, for lack of a better term, popcorn action-y.
Laser beams.
Yeah, laser beams.
Vanitas. You probably should get caught up on Vanitas.
Did you see the Bunny Girl's secret yet? Did you get that far, at least? How far back are you?
She's got an angel that is helping her out. Yeah, that's all I say.
Some kind of demon thing that's going on with her. That was about the only quote-unquote surprise. They did get back into the main guys. Not the main guy, the other Peach Boy, the one that she's following around.
Mm-hmm.
They got into his backstory in the last episode I watched anyway. So you get kind of a background on why he's crazy like he is.
Because they're peach people. Mm-hmm. And whenever they peach up, they get angry and psycho and derpy face and have no emotions.
There's more to him than kind of they've implied so far as that you've gotten, I'm sure. So it's one of those things that actually kind of bothered me more than it actually made me like him. So we'll see.
Mm. Killed lots of children.
I'm not going to say that.
Or is that necessarily, what's her name? Not Carrot. What's the other girl's name? They have weird names. Like, all of them have weird names.
Carrot is the demon.
Yeah, that's right. Carrot's the one that got the horn cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carrot technically killed a bunch of children, but we're supposed to like her, so. That's the weird thing about it. Just, hey, by the way, this character did kill a bunch of people, but let's go on a journey together. That kind of, honestly, is the kind of stuff that annoys me. I mentioned that with, I was relating that to Taboo Tattoo, where it has a character that literally kills somebody that's a good character, and then you're like, now we're like scene change and we're supposed to be comical with this character. Like, what are we doing here? It's like, it's just, but with Peach Boy, it's like, just shrug, let's move on. We don't necessarily see her kill people. It's just assumed because you see gigantic beam and the toys that the kids were carrying a couple seconds earlier flying through the air. So it could have been that didn't actually hurt them. Who knows?
I don't particularly look at it either way. Sometimes characters are irredeemable, and that's the frustration.
If you actually visually see it happen, is that the case?
Like, I don't know.
Is it the fact that you didn't see her stabbing a child in the chest?
The problem with her is that they and it's going to sound like I'm justifying her in any way, anything I say.
She turns into a lolly.
it's actually more along the lines of the best I can come up with is they're at war, quote unquote war.
There's a problem there. There's a difference between war and war crimes.
I agree.
That would be, and I'm agreeing with you. This is an interesting discussion. We're going with it. It's an interesting thing where it's a difference between, like, if
Taboo
I see
Tattoo, I didn't disagree with you at all. If I remember right, I didn't like that either. But
it's like that aspect of you see that. Well, I mean, it's just like competition anime. Like, you have this aspect that, you know, these sides are, you know, obviously killing each other, but you see them obviously it's kill or be killed. So you're giving a little bit of leniency there, unless you really like a character, and then suddenly it's like, no matter what, I want to see that other character killed by the end of the show. Otherwise, I'm really angry. But there is an element there of like, yeah, technically, if I did see Carrot blast the barracks, it would make sense because, you know, humans versus demons. But the aspect that it's her blasting innocence that it becomes that element of a quote-unquote war crime. Whereas equally, if I seen a bunch of human army storming the demon realm and they start slaughtering all the children there, yeah, they're bad soldiers. It makes sense.
I think that Million Lives kind of did that. And I think that they, I know you have all kinds of huge problems with it, but I do think that they did that kind of well, where they kind of, for a lack of a better term, humanized, they humanized some giant ogre orc things, whatever you want to call them. And so they explored that to a point. They didn't do it well enough. But they tried to, and it's one of those things. It's an interesting conundrum. Can you actually pull off? And that's, I think, what Peach Boy is actually kind of trying to do is find this middle ground between the quote unquote demons, for a lack of a better term, that they're Oni, and the humans. Can you make something that is considered the other be on equal footing to the ones that you consider your own type, your own? And so it's an interesting conundrum. And like I said, I do agree the whole war crime thing. If we're going on an ethical standpoint, yes, she's irredeemable. But at the same time, that's the kind of the point is to explore those ethical conundrums in your own mind and in your own heart. Did the Nazis, are they redeemable? No, they mass slaughtered massive amounts of people, but you can still explore the idea of the banality of evil. You can still explore that. And that's something that you should do find out what it takes to find that red line in your own heart. Find out where you go, okay, not this, no farther than this.
And it's funny because I think the interesting thing that comes from that particular case is, and I joked about this when it initially happened, was, okay, what happens after she shoots her gigantic beam and kills basically a bunch of citizens? Yeah, maybe some soldiers. Innocent people are kind of in the mix for that. And then what happens right afterwards? Boom. She's now a cute lolly. And now she's, you know, in defense, you know, she can't defend herself. And now suddenly here comes this crazy person that's going to attack her. And, you know, and it creates that sense of like, oh, well, here's this cute little girl that's going to get killed. And then you have that conundrum of like, wait, she just killed a whole bunch of people. This is perfectly fine that she gets killed. And then it starts trying to get her into the group. And again, because she gave up on everything, main protagonist character says, no, you're too cute to, you know, give up on things. We're bringing you with us, even though you massively killed a bunch of people. And now we're all adventuring together, you know, holding hands. It's very interesting the way that it kind of plays that. I think with Million Lives, the conundrum that comes from that is really more pointing out the aspect of hypocrisy of him. That was really pointing out his hypocrisy. And it's interesting to really dive into that technically, because it's playing on an idea of like, yeah, that was really, that made you feel really wrong. But at the same time, again, like you mentioned, it's technically a strategic move for the survivability of the people on the island.
Yeah.
It's a kill or be killed situation. She will eventually grow. She will eventually have children, and this will continue on kind of thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We'll we'll see when it comes to the end of these seasons, if anything fans out from any of them. But news 34 minutes in, we're gonna get some news. Yeah, this is some news that seems important to us to be important to you. Dive through all this stuff and see what's coming up this next, or what came up last 2 weeks. Developer Caramel Box announced that the Atomi wa Boku ni Koishitoru Trinkle Stars is getting an OVA. Its debut is set for the 24th of December, so be excited if you've been checking out that visual novel. It's going to be all ages, so apparently the source material is not all ages, so you'll be happy to know that this will be all ages, so no naughty scenes. Stage vent for Fate Collide Prisma Ilia Liner Charisma nameless girl, long title name, has announced that they are getting a sequel work. During the event for this particular movie, let me restate this, they announced that this will be continuing on, which is no surprise to anybody to have an announcement for more stuff at the movie premiere for it. So, and I think High Dive has that movie, so they'll be doing a release of that as well. So, cool stuff there. Chris, you should be excited. Nintendo Switch's fitness boxing game is getting a TV anime.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's probably going to be full CGI. Just character designs themselves look like they're CGI, so it's probably going to be a CGI anime about fitness boxing. Of course, you do the Ring Fit stuff.
Yeah, Ring
so Fit. So it's not Ring Fit stuff. Ring Fit stuff would probably more fit to be an anime because that's more like a dungeon crawler exercise game.
Right. I think that RPG. Ring Fit as an anime would be fun. That would be really fun. I don't know that because it is kind of more story driven per se. So yeah, I think that it because it's got a lot of cool stuff going on in there. I don't know about I'd almost have to play the game to actually see if it's kind of more story mode-ish or not. That'd be interesting. We'll see.
Probably just gonna be a fitness show kind of setup. All right, everybody, now punch, punch, punch. I don't know. Interesting nonetheless. Let's see here. Honeyworks. This is kind of interesting. Honeyworks, who's done obviously several things, several songs. The Honeyworks title, which is to become a good heroine, the unpopular girl, and the secret job. Apparently, heroine Tarumono, a Vocaloid work from Honeyworks, has inspired an actual anime, which is kind of interesting. But, yeah, so fans of Honeyworks music, it's pretty cool to see that their stuff is getting an anime adaptation. So, interesting stuff. I don't know, they have a synopsis. Yeah. Yori left her hometown to pursue her passion, track and field, by enrolling in Tokyo's Sakuragaoka High School. Looking for a part-time job in Tokyo, she ended up working as an apprentice manager for her classmates, Yujiru and Aizo. The story revolves around the coming of age of Hirori as she juggles school, extracurricular, and managing, and lip as a shine on stage. So, student-turned-manager. Interesting. That time I got Reincarnated as a Slime smartphone game is getting an English release this year. So this is something that's been previously announced, but they are announcing that this will get an English release as well. But the English title is That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime Isekai Memories. And it, of course, is a smartphone game that features all your favorite characters in a 3D RPG action game with kind of town building, too, which I thought was
interesting. It says nation building, so I don't know. That'll be interesting. Maybe I'll try that one out.
Yeah. And they said it's obviously, as most mobile games are, free game.
Is that preview? But
it just got some screenshots. Oh, they just have some footage of it. But yeah, it's going to obviously be a free game with some in-game purchases, obviously. So it looks good. Visually, it looks pretty good. I think the only thing that does kind of have my interest a little bit is, of course, the fact that you can build up your town and stuff, which I think is cool. So
that's exactly what's going to drag me into it, if anything.
It'll probably be one of those things where you can like build so much and then suddenly you hit a time gate and it's like, well, if you want to pay a little extra, you can build a little more. You know that's what it's going to be. And obviously the gotcha for it. And that's the thing, like Reincarnated as a Slime is one of those games or those series that has so many characters, they can easily gotcha the heck out of that game. So cool stuff. Cool stuff. All I guess that Bandai Namco is actually doing the localization and not certain other companies. So hopefully it's less content removed from it that they deem questionable.
That'll probably be one of the first times I actually re-roll until I get Milim.
Yeah, there you go. I'm always terrible at doing the re-rolling thing.
I've never had a game that I've even tried doing that. I think it's just a waste of time.
Yeah, I did Fate Grand Order for a little bit, but yeah, I gave up really quickly. I didn't do any on Genshin. Of course, Genshin was locked to an email account, so you had to like throw burner email accounts at it. So, I really do give a lot of credit for a lot of the gacha games that have it where you can do a reroll through like a browser and stuff like that. I think, what was that one called? They were doing an anime, adaptation here recently. I forget what it's called, but they had a whole browser reroll system, which was cool. It just required you to like share it out to people to get another reroll. Let's see here. I guess I didn't click on that one. The official website for Renmei Kugun Koko Maho Ongakutai Luminous Witches has listed a delay to premiere the series in 2022 due to various circumstances. The English title is Allied Air Force Magical Idols Luminous Witches. So if you were looking forward to that one this year, don't anymore. That's the one I think Shaft was doing. Yeah, Shaft was going to be doing this, so kind of sucks. But and of course, it's a spinoff of the Strike Witches franchise.
It's a spinoff of Strike Witches. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, the title suddenly makes sense. But yeah, that's actually interesting. I mean, like aspect of it being a spinoff, but just one that's being done by Shaft is pretty cool. So look forward to that one eventually, whenever that comes out. The manga adaptation of High School Prodigy's Have It Easy in Another World is set to end on October 1st. So if you're keeping up on that manga, it's coming to an end.
That kind of sucks. I did kind of like that show.
Well, the light novel's still there. It's just the manga, so.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
It does beg the question. I wonder if the manga does technically adapt the whole thing or if they're going to just end it. So, yeah, Impress has the manga if you want to keep up on that. See here. Funimation began streaming a teaser for the TV anime of She Professed Herself, Pupil of the Wise Man. The trailer lists a January 2022 premiere date, so definitely look forward to that one. I think we've talked about that a couple times, but I guess now we know that Funimation is co-proing it, so obviously they have it. I don't know if we ever looked into that synopsis here. Sakamori Kagami was one of the top players in the VR MMO Ark Earth Online as Damboof, a veteran summoner with gravitas to match his elite status. When he falls asleep playing one day, he's transported to another world in a game where the game is reality. But instead of all his all-powerful avatar, he's stuck in the body of a cute young girl. He can't let anyone know that this little cutie is really Damboof. Damboof, I'm guessing. So he takes the name Mita and claims that to be Damboof's disciple. If this gets out, he'll never live it down. Interesting idea for a setup. So, gender swap fun. see, Yen Press has announced that it has licensed the manga adaptation of Reborn as a vending machine. I Now Wander the Dungeon. They'll be doing a digital simulpub, so definitely look forward to that on Yen Press. That's kind of one that I wanted to look into, the one I heard about.
The funny thing about that one is I want to look into it just generally on, I want to know its hook. Because I can't see... It's a vending machine. How is it? I know that there is going to be a lot of lewd scenes because I've seen that, or lewd, I guess, etchy scenes. I have seen some of that involved in it, but outside of that, how does a vending machine move around outside of somebody carrying it around? So,
yeah, I kind of figure it'd be like, I assumed it'd be similar to something like the Restaurant to Another World, whatever, where it's just like, people come up and they start talking about situations that's happening, just sitting there. So you kind of get a view of what's happening around him through the people that stop by the vending machine.
I mean, the magical sword one, that made sense. I mean, somebody is literally carrying it around, so...
And just talking about how it's going through flesh and organs and stuff. It's warm. And then suddenly it gets cold again. Oh, I'm going through another monster. Interesting. Exciting news. The official website for the anime adaptation of Let's Make a Mug 2 began streaming a promo for its second season to premiere on October 1st. So this next season will be another season of Let's Make a Mug 2, which I think we were both positive on.
Yeah, I really loved it.
Yeah, it was a short, really cute. I think a lot of my enjoyment came out of the aspect of the bonding that she was trying to do with her father when they just lost her mother. And that was kind of the thing that I was a little bit... I think it's one of those things where at the end of that season, I felt that there was a lot untold, especially regarding their relationship and stuff. So it really is really cool to kind of see another season coming up. And based on the trailer, it does look like they're going to get more into her mother's monument that she made. So that'd be cool. So cool stuff. Exciting, exciting, exciting. The official website for the TV anime To Your Attorney has announced it'll be getting a second season in fall 2022. So for those that are not keeping up on the show itself, I know I talked about it in my impressions of the last episode, but obviously for those that are not watching the series as a whole, they wouldn't know that. But yeah, it's getting a second season. So that's exciting. I kind of mentioned in my discussion of the last episode that I was happy that the last episode actually showed me a lot of promise for the series going forward, even though I really didn't like the last arc they did. So it's cool. It's cool. I'm excited. Are you going to get into it?
Sooner or later.
It's over now.
That one is, yeah, that one is going to be a hard one because that is a lot to catch up on that one. Because that's two core, right?
Or 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Let's see here. Netflix did list Baki Hanma anime to debut worldwide in September. So if anybody that's keeping up on Baki, be excited for that. I don't know that I'll ever get into Baki. I keep looking at it. I keep debating it, but I never do. it's kind of one of those...
the grappler?
I think. It's one that has like all the character design look like Frieza from from Dragon Ball Z with like the really small puffy lips. I don't know. I can't get past the art style. It just does not do anything for me. Anyways, let's see. Aniplex has revealed a new original anime, TV anime, titled Gunjo no Fanfare, or Fanfare of Adolescence. This one is set to premiere in spring of 2022. The story takes place at a horse racing academy that trains boys to become jockeys. The three-year academy is very competitive, and those who wish to enter must not only pass an academic test, but a physical and fitness test as well. Arimura is a former popular idol who becomes enamored with horse racing after seeing it for the first time and wants to join the academy. Shun Kanami was raised on an island and only experienced his horse racing through radio broadcasting growing up. This is sounding very familiar. Amane comes from a high-class family in England, and his father is a former jockey. Amane has... This is... Okay, anyways, blah. There's like three boys, and they all have their in history with jockeying. I'm curious if we'll have a pretty derby crossover here. And I totally made that joke prior to reading that synopsis, but like I did get a little bit of feeling of pretty derby in that synopsis. So yeah, eventually we might get a crossover with cute boys riding cute girls and pretty derby crossover with Gunjo no Fanfare.
I don't know how you got any of that out of that, but we'll go with it. It sounds like a pretty boy show is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go. There's your pretty boys right
there.
There
you go.
The video is like literally like live action horses and junk. So, yeah.
But is Special Week going to be in there? Probably. Is she going to be the Special Week from the show? Doubt it.
See, now you're going down that rabbit hole. See, you couldn't help it. You followed me. I was in the rabbit hole and I was like, it's fine down here. Come on down this rabbit hole, Chris. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, so this is, and you start walking into it like casually. See, you're in there with me.
No, only because I had to give you some kind of rope to pull yourself out of that hole. You're way stuck in there.
The sad thing is you gave me the rope and I pulled you into it. So it's okay. You got the reverse effect. So there you go. Pretty Boys Horse Racing. I'm sure it'll be full of CGI horse racing. So look forward to that. Yay. Anime adaptation of Dance Dance Dancheur is set to premiere in 2022. I know we talked about that getting an adaptation recently, so apparently we've officially set a premiere date of an entire year. So be excited. Netflix has revealed that it is working on or working with manga creator Shin Kibayashi on a new original anime called Lady Napoleon. Apparently, Zero G will be doing the animation for it, and the action fantasy anime will center around Sophie, a descendant of Napoleon and the leader of the Lady Napoleon organization bent on world domination. Napoleon once had three sacred treasures, and Sophie, her jack-of-all-trades butler, named Butler, thanks for that, and the martial artist named Guy, search the world for these lost treasures. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting, interesting. I don't think there's anybody else interesting behind it. The director is Noriaki Akitaya, who did Bakuman, Active Raid, Orisuki. Nothing fascinating there. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be 13 episodes and worldwide streaming. So, cool stuff.
I'm curious of the character artists on that one.
It looks like it's going to be a full dump, too. So, I think it's going to be a worldwide full 13 episodes. That's kind of one of those nice ones, unlike the ones that, you know, broadcast in Japan and we wait 3 months for them. So, that's another cool thing about that. Fans of Kanon and Clannad, the illustrator and character designer for those series, Itaru Hinoe, has announced that they'll be working, or she will be working with Nexton, a adult visual novel creation company. But she has noted that she will continue her other personal projects. So interesting there. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the original art style of those particular titles. Honestly, I think they were great for their time, and I do give a lot of appreciation for, I guess, the emphasis of eyes that a lot of those had, but yeah. Interesting nonetheless. We have Sega and Colorful Palette has revealed that they will be launching Project Sekai Colorful Stage smartphone game globally in English this year. So anybody that was looking forward to another rhythm game on their phone, look forward to that, I guess. I think this is a funny one because when I first seen the trailer, I'm like, I don't ever see myself playing this because the style of action or the style of rhythm, I just like the idea of the four face buttons. I've never liked rhythm games on phones. This one's a lot better than the previous Miku phone game rhythm games that I've played, just because the other one that I played required you to technically know kanji and stuff. But the cool thing that they've kind of announced, at least through the trailer, is that they're planning on, I guess, making it a social thing as well, where they're actually going to have live events, like live musical events through the app. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do that. Maybe like have the video in there and you just are able to access it at the same time as everybody else. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. It's never worked good. I don't know if I just...
feedback of the buttons.
Yeah, that too. I just feel like it's, in a lot of cases, unresponsive. And I don't know if it's just something that I'm doing wrong, because I know people are play these games really well on the phone. I don't. That's just me, though.
Yeah, it's like when Crossing Void had the Miku crossover. It's like they had a rhythm game in that, and I'm like, I just figured out the quickest way that I could exploit the game, and I just did that to mix it out. All you had to do was like just smash your fingers on the screen like repetitively, not even have to do it on timing. So I don't know. Like I said, I like my face buttons, so I'm gonna stick with my millions of other copies of Miku that are on consoles that I can play at any time. But like I said, the other stuff in there that they're talking about is interesting. I mean, to have this aspect of, you know, social gatherings and actual concerts and stuff, I'm curious how that stuff will play out. So I'll keep an eye on it. The official website for Teasing Master Takagi-san has announced a third season and a film in 2022. Are you excited, Chris?
It needs to hurry up and happen already.
The anime is going to premiere in January 2022, so not too far away. And so I'm gonna pose you the question, because I already answered this question. Who do you think should license this?
High Dive.
high dive.
I don't want anybody else touching it. I'm so sick of this crap.
Yeah, I think high dive would be good. No, I pose the obvious question because we've had the first season was on Funimation, and I think it was available through Crunchyroll. The second season was on Netflix. So there's a huge problem with people that were, you know, wanting to get caught up on the series. Is like, oh, I have to go over here to get the first season, then I have to go over here to get the second season. But my question is like, who will get the third season? I can totally see Netflix getting it just because they have the second season that want to continue it on. But not only that, I actually, hear me out, I kind of want Netflix to get them. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, we will get a 3-month delay on getting the third season, but we'll get the movie really quickly. Whereas anybody else gets the movie, they're going to wait and hold it and do a theatrical release, and then they'll wait another like 6 months before they do a Blu-ray release, and then we'll have to buy the Blu-ray and bring the Blu-ray in just to watch it. Whereas,
well, I was thinking of it mostly upon the idea of the physical release later.
Right, which sucks because you have to wait like 2 years. But I will go with you on High Dive because what did High Dive do with Made in Abyss? They actually had a streaming of the movie itself. You could buy virtual tickets and watch it.
Yeah.
So if High Dive were to get the movie and they would, I just want somebody that would stream the movie. That way we don't have to wait 3 years to buy the Blu-ray. Otherwise, have to pirate it. I don't really want to have to pirate it, but yeah. Either way, it's cool. It'll be fun to see that pop up. It's been quite a while since we had Takagi-san, so. And I think the other exciting thing about it is I think Nagatoro kind of invited a lot of people to the realm of the teasing girl aspect. So I think a lot of people will, I think, set your expectations. Teasing Master Takagi-san is not as lewd and, you know, into sexualizing the girl as Nagatoro. So please don't come in with that expectation of, oh, yay, another tan girl, best girl. No, this is very more cutesy and more charming, you know, puppy love type story. So, but I think you'll get the same flavor of the whole aspect of a teasing girl storyline. So I think if you're fans of Nagatoro, you definitely should give it a shot. So, yeah.
just temper expectations.
I have to correct myself. Now, if you want something more, if you want something more teasing girl that's similar to Nagatoro, yeah, technically, Uzaki-chan wants to hang out is a little more into the ecchi stuff. Even Miss Ueno is probably more into your category. So if you want to go crazy ecchi, go Miss Ueno. Anyways, moving on. Let's see. We have the official website for Moriarty the Patriot has announced a season. The series will be getting a 2-episode OVA. It's going to be an original story that is not found in the manga. So even for those that are fans of the source material.
Good to clear that up, because I was automatically thinking they needed something that they needed to either cap off or explore real quick. So it's good to know that it's actually.
Did the second season finish it?
I don't know. I didn't finish the show. You watched the show.
I still need to get caught up on that one. I didn't finish this. I didn't finish the first. I was like halfway through the first season or first part. Sorry. I'm sorry. I mislabel this season. You have to specifically state it properly. It was a part one and a part two. Oh, don't want to anger people. Here's some slightly sad news. It's still good news, though. Don't get me wrong. But Science Saru has come out and announced that they are doing an original, or not original series, doing an adaptation of technically a novel, which is the Hike story, or Hike Monogatari. Now, that's exciting. Science Saru doing this Hike story. It looks cool. Check out there's a trailer out there on Funimation's Twitter account. They're already announcing it on Funimation because they're technically getting, they're going to be broadcasting it in fall, a whole season ahead of Japan, which is kind of crazy. But the interesting thing that came from this is that the director is Naoko Yamada. Now, for those that don't know who Naoko Yamada is, Naoko Yamada is pretty much was the premier director in Kyoto Animation for quite a while now. She, of course, directed K-On!, Tamako Market, A Silent Voice, Liz and the Bluebird. She has been a fantastic director under Kyoto Animation's roof. Now, the unfortunate thing there is this is the sign that Naoko has left Kyoto Animation. So that's the sad news, is that she, at least for now, is not working with Kyoto Animation as their premier director. The good news is that she is, at you know, seeking out something that she wants. Obviously, a lot of crap happened with Kyoto Animation just a couple years ago, and this might be a response to that. We don't know, and I'm not going to make assumptions, but she has found this new place to do work in, and I'm excited for her, excited for what she has going on in the future. So the Hike story is essentially the original Epic Tale. Epic tells the story of the rise and fall of the Taira clan during the Genpei War. The anime centers around the perspective of Biwa, a blind traveling minstrel. Biwa meets Taira no Shigomori, heir to his clan, and bearing the supernatural sight that can perceive ghosts. She then proclaims to him a prophecy of his clan's downfall. So, pretty cool. The exciting thing is Biwa will be voiced by Ao Yuki.
Oh, yeah?
So that's cool. And she's had a chromia, so that's cool.
It looks... Although I'm not sure about the art style, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's the only... And this is a personal thing. The only thing that I'm not too happy about is Naoko working with Science Saro, who I've never really cared for their designs. I mean, this is like, you know, Devilman Crybaby. This is Japan Sinks 2020. It's just not a studio that I've... I appreciate what Science Saro does artistically. Izokin's another one they've done. But I've never cared for their style, their visual character designs and stuff. It doesn't look good. That's just me, though.
Oh, so are we going to get bashed for hating on that group again? Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm really hoping.
I didn't even know who it was. I'm sorry. It's the greatest show ever.
Good correction there, Chris. Nice save, Vu. I'll make sure to cut all the negative parts out of the recording so nobody ever knows that we were negative on this series. You could not be negative against Science Saro. They are perfection in a can. No, like I said before, I honestly admit that I've never cared for a lot of their work. Like I said, I find a lot of their designs and visuals very off-putting. But at the same time, I will definitely give Naoko a try anytime she directs something. And I think the story so far is pretty cool. It sounds like it's going to be a great story. So
It's so frustrating because we always end up in the same boat every time. It looks interesting, or we don't care for the style, but it looks fantastic. And every time we end up in the same situation, it's like, can y'all just give us that leeway? Obviously don't like their artwork. I'm sorry.
I got so much bash for Izokin and not liking the character designs in that one. It's like, not making a statement about what people in the real life physically look like. Give me a break. It's anime. Leave it to anybody to get angry about things. It's fine. But that's crazy that it's starting on September 15th. Like, what? Like, what's with these shows and just popping up randomly? Like, we're not done with the season yet. Why are we starting September 15th? I'll definitely be checking that out. I'll give my impressions on a video at least. We'll talk about it on the podcast probably. But cool stuff there. I'm really curious what in decision making they came up with. Like, this is cool. We're gonna have this. All right, cool. We're gonna broadcast it in September, and Japan, I guess, can watch it. I don't know, sometime next year. It's like, what? Like, I'm starting to feel bad for Japan. Like, why are we suddenly grabbing things early? I mean, I think the earliest example that I remember that being was Lupin the Third. Well, like, they had it in, I think, Europe or something like that. Like, long, I think it was Italy. Anywhere else. Yeah. Because, I mean, technically that's the settings, but I think that was probably something to do with the license for Lupin.
Unless that was the turtle one.
Italy sounds right. But super good news. Fans of Encouragement of Climb, apparently they are releasing another season of that, which is going to premiere in 2022. It's going to be Encouragement of Climb Next Summit. So definitely super excited for that one. I think Encouragement of Climb is one of those shows that I think does not get enough attention, and it deserves it. It's just, it's, it's got such a great charm to it, very laid back. If you're fans of Laid Back Camp, you should probably should be checking this one out. Super Cub, those types of shows. I think it's always been kind of surprising visually. They put a lot of visual design and animation into it, which is always surprising. So it's got a bit of Sakuga in there, despite being a very laid back type of show.
It barely opened up, and I wanted to scream. Oh, I love this show! I miss it.
Yeah, I miss the girls. They're adorable. So, and they had like a cute little love feud the last season. It was so funny. It was so cute. Looks like they got a lot of new characters.
Oh no, they're getting dark. They're shooting bubbles at each other.
No, she's spending time with somebody else when she should be with the other girl. How dare she cheat on her? It's so cool. It's like they got this dorky little like lover spat. Anyways, I'm gushing too much. Encouragement to climb. I'm excited for it. The official website for Tact Op, I guess is how. No, I'm sorry, Tact Opus. I think is how it's pronounced. It's TAKTOP. Has revealed new information on the series. The work is going to be between MAPPA and Madhouse. It's got an October 5th premiere, so this is another show that's coming up next season. We'll probably talk about this more in our preview for the season. But they did reveal that a new theme song is for it, being done by Ryo Supercell. It's going to be writing and composing the theme. Some staff members to note is Dina and Oji Hirori, which did Sakura Wars. It's going to be credited for the original work for this series. And Yoshihiro Ike is composing the music for the series, which did music for Dororo and Tiger and Bunny. So
DNA is doing...
It's credit for the original work, the writing. It's a company.
Right. So they've shifted from doing tech stuff to now they're doing...
No, DNA is like a publishing company, isn't it?
I thought they were the ones that bought...
Yeah, they bought Miamilis, but they're still a tech company. Or a publishing company, because I think they bought them because they wanted to put their manga and stuff on there.
Oh,
so,
huh?
Yeah, I think they're mostly a manga company. Like I said, I think that was a move just to kind of promote their stuff, but I could be wrong. But it looks good. Character designs are interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, we'll talk more about it next week when we do our preview. I'll start really digging into it and getting some info, and probably clarify what Dina is rather than being dumb about it. For fans of High Score Girl, the mangaka Rinsuke Oshikiri will be launching a new anime. I thought it was a manga.
Did I write the wrong thing?
It's a manga. Sorry. Not an anime. I'm sorry. Settle down. Is launching a new manga titled Genius on September 16th. So if you are keeping an eye on the Japanese releases, you can look forward to that one. Apparently it's going to be in Weekly Shonen Champion magazine. So,
damn. Do we got a hint as to what it is?
I don't think so. No, no information. Yeah, this is just for High School Girl. So go there. Hopefully that gets another adaptation. Hopefully not by JC staff. So we get another CGI weird looking show. I love High School Girl. Definitely go watch that show. It's amazing. Kodansha's Young Magazine has announced that Under Ninja is getting an anime adaptation. This one is after World War II. Allied Command in Japan developed a new agency to help manage terrorism and violence within the Pacific region. The agency was staffed with ninja, and they were initially tasked to handle domestic affairs. Was staffed with ninja. Okay, I don't know why I'm not reading that properly. Eventually, the program grew to its current form, managing 20,000 ninja across the range of domestic and international affairs. One of those ninjas happened to be Kudo. The 17-year-old high school loser is now poised to be the next line of defense against a potential surge in foreign assassin invading Tokyo. Get him, 17-year-old high schooler. That has honed his skills for 17 years. yeah, there you go. Check that out. See here. Shueisha, My Theater DD, TV Tokyo, and Toei Animation have launched a new anime streaming service. The streaming service is called Anime Ka. They have announced that this service will be eventually available internationally. Currently, it's only available in Japan. And this is very interesting, question mark. We've kind of talked about this quite a bit. A lot of these companies kind of banding together in order to support alternative streaming platforms. I think we talked about a little bit where several companies were doing, making channels on YouTube to supply their anime there. But I kind of wonder if this is a response to something. Maybe.
It was one of those things that we kind of brought up as a kind of, at least I did. I'm pretty sure you did as well, but it was one of those, I wonder if this is the reason why they're stepping their toes into YouTube or trying to get Daisuke going on, because they already had the hints that this was coming at some point.
Yeah.
And when it started becoming more codified, suddenly you started seeing a lot of shifting. So it's interesting to see what's going on.
Yeah, it's not as if they can throw together a streaming service within, you know, a couple months in response to, you know, Sony buying Crunchyroll. I think my question more poses the idea of, technically, a lot of these company industry leaders and stuff, they knew this was down the road. Like, we knew that Crunchyroll was looking at buying, or Sony was looking at buying Crunchyroll for, what, 2 years now?
Yeah.
And it wasn't solidified until November, or wasn't, like, becoming solidified until like November last year, and then it finally was completed here recently. So this is something they've been seeing for a long time. They know who's talking to who, they know who's looking at who, and there could be an argument to be made this might be a response to that buy. Not that they hate Sony or anything like that, not that they're from our perspective going, oh my gosh, a monopoly. From their perspective, it's more, again, this is speculation. What if they seen this and they're thinking, well, we don't really want Aniplex, which is technically Sony, buying our licenses and showing them worldwide? Or a response of, well, why don't we? Why don't we put our stuff out there? Why don't we make these subscriptions? Why don't we make all this money that Crunchyroll obviously was making before Sony bought them? So it is an interesting kind of move. Now, granted, this is not to say they're not working with all these companies, because like a lot of the titles they have they're going to be streaming is like, you know, My Hero Academia and Demon Slayer. Those titles are available on, you know, Funimation and Crunchyroll. But it's more of a thing of a direct route, which I think is really interesting. And we do have technically a question or comments or a question area, but that's going to be more tuned towards this. But there is the aspect of wondering, when we will get to that point where a lot of these companies, I don't necessarily see the studios doing it. I can see some studios, if they're good enough, having some platform they can utilize. But at least a lot of these producers and a lot of these, you know, main heads of a lot of these conglomerates of studios would want to eventually get to the point where they can make a platform where they can distribute their own stuff to everybody. Now, a lot of question marks come there in the idea of, you know, how can they manage the infrastructure? There's a lot of services and stuff right now that you can build those infrastructures off of. A lot of, you know, hosting services and stuff they can utilize. And there might become to a point where it's really easy to formulate your own streaming service that has all the amenities of subscriptions and everything like that built into it. So it's only a matter of time before a lot of that stuff becomes so easy to produce yourself that you can do it. So it's cool, though. Interesting. Interesting move from them. But, yeah. Let's see here. Official website for Net Manga. If you... close this out here. You can do it. Doki-chan has revealed an anime adaptation to premiere on September 20th. So, I think this is the same person that does all the tights-related stuff. So, it's kind of funny when you're an illustrator that typically focuses on women and tights. mirror tights and stuff. So, interesting. More girls in tights. Be excited. Let's see here. Demon Slayer has been listed for 2-core season running through fall and winter. This is, of course, going to be the Entertainment District arc. I've seen a lot of people speculating this will probably go further than what we kind of originally thought of based on the fact that it's going 2 arcs, so, or 2 cores. Because I think a lot of people said that the red light district part is not that long. So cool to see that we'll get more hopefully it's not that they're going to drag it out for two cores, but that they will actually handle it and then move on to something else. But I think a lot of the discussion around this particular announcement was surrounding the statements that were made essentially by Fuji TV. The program manager came out and basically said that it is going to air at a certain time bracket and that it will air without edits. I think apparently there was a lot of question marks being raised about them possibly moving this particular broadcast to a more public time, which I guess would give them a lot more viewership, but it would mean that they would have to cut out a lot of content because, yes, they are technically going to a red light district, so there is going to be some questionable content in there. So the statement was, regarding the story's content set in the red light district, she said that the anime will go through the usual standards and practices reviews, but the station plans to air the content without changes. She added that Fuji TV received a great response from being able to air the project that became a social phenomenon in collaboration with Seisha, Aniplex, and Infootable. So, yeah. There you go. Excited?
Actually, yes.
I think that is a kind of a positive thing to note, that it's in a better time bracket, I guess, and not going to see too much censorship, because that is something that can happen with something that is broadcasting Japan. I mean, as much as they do allow a lot of stuff, there is still technically some restrictions that they do have to apply for some content. Does make you question what kind of content we're dealing with, but I guess I'll see here soon. But yeah.
Who apparently wouldn't it's be excited?
Who
wouldn't be excited about Best Girl?
Which one?
The Best Girl in a Box.
A Girl in a Box? That's your Best Girl as a Girl in a Box? Yeah, there you go.
What's her name? Nozomi?
Nezuko.
Nezuko.
Girl in a Box, Nezuko, Chris. I technically asked Best Girl question mark. I guess there is technically Butterfly Girl, which I don't know
but
her name.
I do like Butterfly Girl, but yeah. Nezuko is my favorite.
We're it's been a while since I watched it.
Same here. That's the reason why I
did watch the movie.
I thought it was Nezuko.
Butterfly Girl was technically not in the movie for but maybe a split second, so there you go. They'll be mad at me. But yeah, that's cool stuff. Excited for it. Apparently they're going to be doing a previous broadcasting of a lot of the previous stuff as well. I know the other question that came up is, are they going to do a Dragon Ball Super thing where they broadcast the movie in a TV format, and that's how they're going to make that extra length? But apparently they're going to be showing the movie and stuff before on TV before the actual series begins. So I don't know that they would do a movie edit version and then do a movie edit version again. So there you go. Cool stuff. Let's see here. Studio HB has released a trailer for Tabihane, an original series that is premiering in winter. The series of shorts will be following two girls traveling across Japan. The two girls will be voiced by Miyu Tomita, who, of course, is Alice from Combatants Will Be Dispatched and Gabriel from Gabriel Dropout. And the other character is going to be Kaori Maeda, who did Shizuku from Love Live! Nijigasaki. So I'm sure that's exciting for some people there. And our last bit of news is Distotech has announced some new licenses for Blu-ray release, including ZX Ignition, which is going to be including 12 episodes, English subtitle with English dub. We have Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan the movie, which is going to include a new English dub. Let's see here. Discotech. Urusai Yatsura, Only You. Urusai Yatsura, Remember My Love. Lum the Forever, The Final Chapter, and Always My Darling films will be releasing with English subtitles, English dub. So excited there. Kodocha? I've never seen that one before. Kodocha apparently is getting released as well. Looks like an SD Blu-ray version of it. SD Blu-ray of, obviously, of Sayuki Reload, which I think we talked about that one already. And Remastered Project Echo Blu-ray Disc release. The Remastered Project Echo Blu-ray Disc release will use a Domesday? What's a Domesday duplicator? Anyways, to recover video content from the Laserdisc release, the release will include English subtitles and the original English dub. So, cool stuff there. More Echo is always good for me. I'll have to figure out what a Doomsday duplicator is. Anyways, that's it. That's all the news that we seem fit to share with y'all. That's important to us. Do you want to dive into our community section here before then? I do want to kind of make it a habit of thanking a lot of the people that support us on Patreon. I think there's a lot of people that has continued to support us, and I do want to give them a shout out. So yeah, thanks to Seismic Wolf, Jason Marsh, Mark Tyler, Adrian DeWalke. I hope I'm not butchering these names. Sakumbi, Theodore Mulgren, Sergio R. Lasso, Ferro Saito, Yari, Ben O'Driscoll, Havoc, Toshi, CM0, John Bear, Jackal Geek, QB. I think it's QB, isn't it? It's QB.
Probably.
I think it's QB. QB. Yeah. Edward Hernandez, Rodney Forehand, Kevin Nauta, I'm thinking. I'm sorry, sometimes I get the Japanese kind of mixed in with stuff now. Hector Amaya Jr., Otaku 12034. I got it right just for you for the Patreon shout out. And Smackatosh here recently joined us. So I appreciate everybody for their continued support of what we do. It does truly mean a lot to us. So thank you. But moving on to our community's questions. Again, if you want to submit a question, you can go to otakuspirit.com. At the top there is a contact us button, or you can go to the forums, register, and post it in our AnimeCast question thread, or email Andrea at otakuspirit.com. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. Like Cazalas. That's another one that I don't think I've ever had to say out loud. Cazalas said, "Hey guys, first of all, great job and thanks for your content. Keep up the good work." Thank you. Glad you enjoy it. A couple of questions. First, have you heard or researched on Odyssey.com? It's a decentralized alternative to YouTube. More and more creators are moving to it, or at least backing, using as a backup to fight off demonetization and censorship. They will soon let creators even receive tips in USD. I would recommend you check it out at least. Yeah, that's one of the ones I've been kind of looking at. I think the only problem that I have with other alternatives is I'm already kind of strapped for time with this content that I'm trying to produce right now. Plus, I'd have to upload it more than one time, and with a bandwidth cap, it's kind of difficult. But it is definitely something I want to look at in the future. I mean, my eventual hope is that I can get to the point where we're, you know, making enough back on everything that I can eventually pay somebody that I can send stuff to and they handle all that stuff. But for now, we're kind of at certain limits. So, but I appreciate the suggestion.
It's a frustration because I've looked at quite a few of the different alternatives. The issue, 99% of the issue is the mass migration. At some point, everybody has to say, everybody is done with YouTube and does the mass migration. Unfortunately, that moment has not happened.
And then that next person can become the next YouTube and they can start censoring stuff. And that's the annoying thing is like, I can agree with the idea that it'd be great to have an alternative that you can put stuff to. And I'm all for the idea of eventually one day YouTube falling and somebody else getting some time in the sun, a new alternative allow it. But the problem is that even though you see personally, hey, look, here is Odyssey.com and they don't censorship and they don't demonetize people. Well, guess what? Eventually Odyssey is going to get popular enough that lawyers are going to come after them next. Just like, it's like, I don't want to apologize for YouTube, but you do have to understand that YouTube's doing what they're doing because a lot of it has to do with they have a lot of money and people want that money. And so they're coming after them for different things like Privacy Acts, the COPPA stuff. They're coming after them because they have a lot of money and they want that money. And eventually, these other streaming services are going to have the same problem. And guess what? They're going to start doing the same crap. And that's the sad thing. But
I just think it's the same issue that everybody else has. And until we as a human population decide to fix that problem.
We as humans. The human race. Until we, the human race, stand up, it will continue to happen. And eventually,
and I'm not taking a side. I'm just speaking neutrally so that everybody feels like they are the one that knows what I'm really saying.
Okay. Salas also says, finally, more into topic. If you had to divide anime into history, anime in history into eras and arcs, how many would you identify and which anime would you highlight for each arc? For example, the streaming services begin era, or the One Piece, Naruto, Bleach, Kings of Shonen era, for me at least, etc. Anything, thanks. So I guess what I got from this question is, like, if anime history itself was an anime series and you had to quantify, well, this is this arc and this is this arc, I put down here as a quick, obviously the 90s period of the anime stream, like if you had that section of the 90s be an episode arc, it'd be obviously the golden arc. Because that's the golden age of anime, right? So that would be the golden arc.
That's what I keep getting told.
and when you get into the early 2000s, it's obviously the DigiPaint birth arc. That was the arc which they basically had all these great anime that were coming out that were done in like the early stages of DigiPaint. And so they didn't know how to actually properly store that information. And so a lot of those great animes of that area is kind of looks like blurry paint jobs, especially when they try to bring it to newer days and ages and Blu-ray. And then like somewhere like right after that is the filler arc for club rooms. Like you basically have the DigiPaint arc happen. Then right after that, for some reason, they didn't have any content, so they made the club room arc, which is like a whole bunch of club shows for some reason. And then obviously, like, you get into 2010, and suddenly it's the true golden age, I think. Like, right around that 2010 area, like, just before and after, it's like the true golden age that nobody wants to acknowledge. It's like that arc that some people tell you to skip, but I'm like, no, that's where there's some golden stuff in there.
So we're not going with black and white arc, the Gundam arc, then the magical girl
arc. I thought about doing that, but that's too. I mean, that's a different subject. I mean, we talked about the idea of what trends. That's just listing trends. I didn't want to do that. That's too easy. But yeah, the mecha arc, the club show arc, the. Now we're currently in the middle of the teasing girl arc. No, I mean the isekai arc.
There was a moe phase, and it That's became a, and it never went away. It's not going away. So technically,
the moe hit early 2000s.
Yeah, everybody seems to point at Cardcaptor Sakura as the start of that.
Don't blame Cardcaptor Sakura.
I don't.
You mean to Cardcaptor Sakura?
I don't. I like Cardcaptor. But it is what it is. I mean, that's what everybody says. That's the
and where you're repeating moe started. It means that you agree with it, even though I just said that golden arc joke. Thank Kazala. Kazalaz. I hope I'm saying that somewhat right. Corey sent in some questions. Says, you call for questions. Are you aware of any anime, manga, light novels that acknowledge the pandemic in the story? Similar to Western TV shows, Bull, where the characters wear masks and talk about the pandemic. It is so funny. When I had moved a while back, I was with a lot of people that were watching, like, I don't watch regular television, but they were watching regular television. And oh my gosh, how many of these shows, they were watching a lot of, like, you know, rescue shows, like, you know, firemen and cops and stuff like that, and disaster TV shows, and literally everybody's just walking around with masks on, and they're bringing up, like, you know, this person was assaulted and they're getting put in the ambulance and like, no, you can't come in here, COVID. It's like, oh my gosh, I watch TV shows to get away from this stuff, and here it is literally on the screen being shown to my face. Like, why can't this be, why, what's wrong with the Western society in not making this an escape away from it? And which I don't think is really a case with anime specifically, because technically a lot of the shows that you're watching is basically, again, advertisements for a manga or light novel or source material that was written long before this happened. So you're not going to really see it much in anime at all. In manga, I don't keep up on, like, just now releasing manga and light novels, so I don't know if there's some of it. I know there's, I've seen somebody send me a, apparently there's a coronavirus chan, because there's got to be a chan for everything.
I've seen her.
Cells at Work technically did a chapter on coronavirus. So if you really, but I don't think there's, I don't know that there's really anything that's going to be like, here is a chapter where suddenly this character's walking around with a mask and avoiding it. Because, like, I think that Japan, more than anybody, is more about that escapism, whereas we don't see that as an escapism. We think over here we're all about don't forget it. It's right here. You always has to be in your face. Anything that's happening, we have to have it in our face at all times, which is annoying, whereas they more acknowledge escapism. Now, again, that's not to say that there is not manga and light novels that will have it in there, because they make thousands of different types, and so somebody's going to want to do something story-wise with it. But I think you'll see it less there. So.
Yeah, if anything, we'll start to see some kind of a reflection of that part of society probably around 2024, maybe. Because that seems to be... I mean, I was actually surprised with the hero and the hero guy, the guy who turned into the robot, to actually see them... reference, was it that one?
Inuyashiki had
where they actually referenced Trump.
Yeah, Trump was on this TV on Inuyashiki.
Yeah, so I mean that
was like the world's ending, peace out all. I'm like, yeah, that's Trump.
and that's my I was actually surprised to see something that pop culture-y that fast in something. You don't usually see something that in the mainstream that quick in an anime. They tend to be a little bit farther behind because of, like Andrew was mentioning, it tends to go through the manga phase or the light novel phase and then go into a manga phase and then eventually end up getting some kind of an anime. So you're technically talking about something that's happened a while ago before you actually get a reference to it in current anime.
Yeah, I think they would have to have like some kind of collaboration and decision between them to actually okay something like that, because it would have to be an agreement with, yeah, the writer would have to agree to it if it's somewhere in their contract, but at least the producers in the studio to make a reference like that that's more current age. I mean, there's technically a lot of things, a lot of shows that will technically reference stuff, or they'll change the source material just because there's been such a huge time gap. Banana Fish was technically wrote like late 80s, early 90s. So they technically, when they adapted it, they did update it with like, you know, flip phones and smartphones. But Japan Sinks technically was wrote, I think, in the 80s as well. They had to update that with newer stuff, which makes it kind of funny because you do have them having to reference, you know, smartphones and stuff in a story that didn't have that when it was first wrote. But
now, don't get me wrong. There might be like commercials, like public service announcement type things that will use
this
the characters.
This is a pen. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about just them talking about it on TV in Japan. Did you see that this is a pen thing?
Uh-uh.
They were talking about how English... they were saying that to citizens in Japan, don't worry, because of the Japanese language, we're able to avoid spreading the virus as much as anywhere else. And why? Because the way they talk,
their
words are less,
that.
Their, I guess, what's the, like their P's and stuff are less puffy. So their reference was, they say, "Are wa pen des." And then they go, "Look at how the tissue paper barely moved in front of her face when she said, oh, what a ariwa pen des." And now watch her speak English. "This is a pen in the tissue place." And I'm like, the word pen is the same in Japanese and English. The p is the same in both languages. It's just that she's saying pen when she does it in English versus ariwa pen des. It's like, it's the same freaking word and letter. It was so funny. I got a huge kick out of it. It had a bit of comedy skit. It looked like a real skit, or a real thing that they were letting them know, but it had to be comedy and maybe just didn't have a laughing row in the background.
Well, on to our credit, We're loud as all get out. I mean, all the anime talks about it. So we're talking across the room, whereas the Japanese, they have to get like face to face to talk to each other because they whisper all the time.
Well, we always feel like we have to push our words out of our mouth. So we have to swing our head forward and just project it to them. Whereas they're over there going, please, I'm sorry that my words impact your ears too much. I love
the Japanese. That's why we have an entire anime podcast, because we love them so much.
We're all crazy. The second question from Corey says, I can't find these titles you recommended to stream. Bloom Into You and The Demon Girl Next Door. Is there a legal site to stream these, or buying the DVDs the only option? High Dive. High Dive have both of those. So that's probably why you didn't find it, is because it's on the service that nobody's using. So, yeah. And like we mentioned before, supporting High Dive is really good right now because we want alternative streaming services. So if you have a couple bucks to spare, go check it out on High Dive. They unfortunately do not have a free version, but, well, it might be for those shows since they're older, but I think you have to subscribe to see anything there. So, but those two shows are definitely worth it. I think Demon Girl Next Door is getting a new season here soon, so I'm super excited for that. It's a really fantastic show. Bloom Into You needs another season as well. That was like one of the few Yuri type shows that I really liked, because they actually did the characters properly and didn't have it just be one forces the other one until they accept it. Third question is, what are your thoughts on the VTuber boom? I have fallen down the rabbit hole and sometimes find myself watching VTubers instead of anime. I got into it when they first, I've enjoyed watching a lot of the translated Japanese VTuber stuff for quite a while. And I think the moment that the English Hololive stuff came out and I watched them for a little bit, I got tired of it real quick. And I haven't really watched anything since then. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I don't like the fandom behind them. I think now that I can finally see the fandom in English, I got tired of it quick. Because I think that, like, most of the stuff is just, I might make people upset with this, but I feel like a lot of people are feeding, I think they're feeding into a lot of the fandom, and I don't like the fandom at all anymore. So that's just me.
I never really got into it per se. I appreciate the characters. I think they're adorable. Every once in a while, the stuff will pop up on my screen. I may or may not watch it.
Yeah, Gataguda makes me really jealous how good she is at Miku.
Yeah, that is true.
She's too dang good at that.
It's one of those things that, like I said, I appreciate the characters. I will pop into them here and there. Usually the smaller short clips, I will not watch a 4-hour,
live stream.
I'm just not going to do that. I have enough stuff that I'm trying to keep up on to do that. But as it stands right now, really my thing with them is I kind of agree. I think the fandom kind of kills it. They're being characters, and they are literally playing off of that. So it's an equal exchange.
Yeah, like when they first came out, they all had like they create a persona for themselves when they first come out. And I think what happens really quickly, they just started kind of accepting what the loud group of fandom wanted. And so now it's just a big shipping war, and they're all like being looted every 2 seconds. It's like, okay, we're just doing what the thirsty people want anymore. So
yeah, there's a lot of times where they'll get stuck on a joke, and that joke will, like, Subaru is secretly male, so, which I don't really care either way if she is or not. The point is that becomes their joke, and it becomes a part of their persona, and then that's when it kind of gets kind of broken. Well, like, I think Gura is a Pachinko, and so they focus on that for literally hours on end, which, like I said, that's their, what Andrew is mentioning, where it becomes a self feeding on itself, where she's playing into the joke. The joke is overwhelming the chat, and so it becomes boring. Honestly,
yeah, it turns from them entertaining with a concept to just them feeding into their chat, which again is fine, and I'm happy for the people that are essentially getting what they want. I mean, that's perfectly fine. It's just it turned into something that wasn't for me, so I stepped away from it. It's not, and I'll still check out every now and then to, you know, like I said, with Gura doing the Miku stuff. It's just I don't focus on it anymore.
I would have fun mostly on who's the rabbit girl's name? When she would, Pecora. She would, huh?
Pecora.
Yeah. And she would do, they were doing the, her being kind of, mischievous with other characters, Minecraft stuff. I had a blast with that because she's just too funny. That's the thing. That's different than the other stuff that we were talking about. When it shifted from just them being them to, the chat changing them, that's when I kind of started losing it, especially seeing how I don't much care for the Western humor.
Yeah. And it's a lot more easier to influence. I guess that's the thing. It's a lot more easier to influence when it's actually an English thing.
Yeah.
You can't really influence it when it's Japanese. Besides making them say things that are inappropriate because they don't know what it means. let's see here. Fourth question says, anime movies are becoming more common to see on Netflix and Crunchyroll. Do you guys watch and review these too? Including Oko's In This Corner of the World, A Whisker Away, and The World's Bubble of like Soda Pop were all very cute. I did a video review of World's Bubble of like Soda Pop. I don't know if I talked about it in one of our reviews during that time. I think that was after our reviews. Whisker Away, I did a podcast review of it back when that came out. It's still in my needs to be edited folder. In This Corner of the World, I thought that I posted that one. I don't see it in that folder either. So I think I posted that one as a podcast. So we did have a review for that. Oko's In, no, I haven't watched that one yet. So don't have that one. See, your podcast and video content brings joy to my life. Keep it up. I appreciate that. Thank you, Corey. It says Corey, aka Deka-chan. So, there you go. Cool stuff. Is the next question quick? Yes, it'll be a quick question. Austin writes in and says, I grew up on Pokemon and recently tried watching it with my daughter, and it seemed a lot more juvenile than I remember. Do you think they'll ever make Pokemon anime or even game anime aimed at adults? I get that I might not be the target audience anymore. Exactly. But I think there would be a huge audience for this kind of thing. Not as much as you think, unfortunately. And no, the live-action Netflix show is not going to cut it for me. I think that's a sad thing. You do have to realize that Pokemon is technically aimed to, you know, children, and that is their market that will have a lot of money spent for it. Whereas, unfortunately, the more adult audience is very limited, as much as we think that it is popular for adults, popular because adults grew up with it. It's just something a lot of people just grow away from. I will say, I heard that the manga for Pokemon is actually pretty dark. So if you're okay with a manga instead of an anime, there's an option. Obviously, a lot of the original manga was cut when they adapted it to make it more... even the anime content that was in Japan was cut even more so when it came to America. But, like, the whole very first scene where Misty meets Ash, she slaps him. And that was cut when it came over here. But no, the original manga apparently was supposedly pretty dark. So, I guess that's an option for something more adult.
I don't know this because I have not watched very much of it. Supposedly Digimon is a little bit more adult, but I don't know. I try to hunt for kind of more alternatives,
I think Digimon was more, it just hit on more character heavy subjects. If I remember correctly. But it was still pretty tame, honestly, because again, it's similar to Pokemon.
Right. That's the thing is try to look for more alternatives to it.
Here you go. We cross. Don't watch it with your daughter though, unless she's decently old. But yeah, We Cross is basically Pokemon with adult story.
Yeah.
Heavy subjects. Kind of. Very heavy subject.
It is one of those things where you just have to kind of nose around. You will find something. I guarantee that.
The Fate series?
In a way, yes.
Basically Pokemon.
it's it, It is what it is. I
there's no cute monsters in Fate, though. That's the problem.
Can it sell well? I believe it can. I do remember, as far as a Pokemon game, one of the ones on GameCube, it was one of their spinoff versions, and that one, I'm not going to say it was dark. It was a little bit darker in tone, and it, mostly because it was, you were able to steal the Pokemon from other player or other Pokemon trainers, and so it,
so you'll tear Pikachu from Ash's hands
effectively.
You monster.
Yes.
You monster. They've been through so much together.
There was other aspects to it that were kind of more serious in tone, but it's I'm not saying that this was the foremost authority on a dark Pokemon. It's just, it was darker in tone. So take that for what it is. I can't remember the name of it, but I mean, if you look for the Pokemon stealing version, you'll find it. I'm sure it, like I said, it was on the GameCube.
Yeah. I was trying to think of, there was another series that was basically kind of similar to those card types that I thought was kind of more, I don't know. I think a lot of those are really trying to, I think a lot of the alternatives to Pokemon, unfortunately, are all basically trying to go for the same thing that Pokemon's going for. So they'll all have that same conundrum of not being very, very adult or very dark. But like I said, if you're for a manga or reading a manga with her, I think checking out the manga for Pokemon, I think, is an option. I think if anything, you could probably check out the first few chapters and see if it's something that's going to give you a little bit more than the original story did. And then probably do like a read along, like, you know, you read a chapter and then she reads a chapter. It would be a cool way of, you know, and again, depending on how old she is, it might be a fun thing to do a kind of a, almost like a book club thing between the two of you, read chapters together and then talk about it. But, yeah. Or see if somebody has like a 2D or was it, well, they call them 2D, manga where it like slides across the screen and stuff. Yep. There you go. Thanks for writing in, Austin. Again, thank you, Corey, and I want to butcher this name again, Casalaz, for the great questions for this episode. But yeah, that's it. That's all we have. I think, again, thank everybody for their support, for listening in, checking us out, telling other people about us, supporting us on Patreon, checking out our YouTube channel. Please go subscribe over there. So hopefully whenever Chris does do a live stream, you can check him out there, talk to him. Or if I do a live stream, we can talk to us as well. And also check out all of our other videos that I'm doing on there, covering content on a weekly basis. So if there's a show that you're currently watching right now, I might be doing an episode impressions on it. So you can get my thoughts on it and comment and let me know what you thought about it. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, we appreciate you. And y'all take care.
Peace.